to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on Earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and this is going to be a pre-recorded interview for September 6th, 2016. One of my favorite months of the year. It is not only my birthday month, but it's also my father's birthday month, who is no longer in the physical, but has greatly influenced me and affected me in such a way that I have been able to carry this vision with Galactic Connection in a big way. And I am back from a 30-day set of missions that were, in my opinion, outstanding and extremely victorious. So once again, I am under a so-called gag order, unfortunately, but I do want everyone to know that it was awesome and we made a lot of inroads. So I just want to put a call out to all of the guardians that are listening today, all of the star seeds, all of the ground crew that are being impacted by this interview. It's going to be a very special interview today because I'm teaming up with a fellow alchemist and a fellow shaman. And we've had some very interesting conversations already that I wished were recorded before we even started. And we're going to show you and share with you some just some glimpses and realizations that we're both having about what's going on in the planet, especially through the eyes of an alchemist. And also, I just want to, once again, as always, put an immense amount of thanks and gratitude to all the beings of light, both interdimensional as well as the allied forces, the White Knight Militia, and especially the angelic realm and even the ascended master realm, all of those that have contributed to assisting us in truly taking back our sovereignty. This is ultimately what we're all trying to do, no matter what tools we're using. So today, what I'd like to do is introduce you to a very, very interesting gentleman. He came into my life, what was it, last year, Jeffrey?
No. March.
Oh, God. Okay, see what I mean? Yeah. And this is Jeffrey Rosenberg. He is an intuitive autodidact. He told me that that just means he's self-taught, shamanic wizard. He has invested over 45 years, folks, actively remembering and manifesting all chemical tools and technologies to serve an awakening humanity in Gaia Sophia's dream. I just love the way he wrote that. And he was born in 1948, and I believe after just a recent interview with Winston Shrout, who mentioned he was born in 1948, that's probably a very special first part of the first waivers. You know, this is somebody who truly, really anchored some very specific intentions to assist us in the immense amount of progress that we're going through right now. I do want to stress to everyone that through all the work that many of us are doing around the world, I know that in my part, I have absolutely relayed, commanded, asked, prayed, I don't know, whatever word you want to use, that we speed things up in a big way. And let me tell you, they are happening. Of course, I'm not claiming full responsibility for that, folks, but I just want you to know that it has been heard, and I heard directly from Creator that this was a decree. Things are happening. I'm getting goosebumps. So I want everyone to really tap into that. And what are the manifestations of that? What are the responsibilities and repercussions of this speeding up? And what can we do to assist you in this time period in particular? Okay, like no other time period we've gone through. As you know, we're constantly in change. And so I really feel that Jeffrey and myself have a really cool opportunity for you. He's going to share with you today something extremely unique. It was so unique that I had to really sit on it for a while and fully get the impact of what was involved. So if you get to know Jeffrey, you're going to find he has many, many tools in his toolbox and quite an artist, frankly, in his own right, and literally created his own tapestries at one time. But what I want him to review with you today is just how he's gotten to where he is. He came upon an amazing tool. And Jeffrey, what would you actually call this particular alchemical tool that we're going to be discussing today?
I'm not sure of what you're, are you speaking of the Picasso app or what's underlying the whole thing?
Probably the actual finished product.
Okay. So I think I have to go to, I made tapestries for a long time from, let's say, 1974 to 1987. I made tapestries, and back in 1969 was my wake-up call. I was in Madison, Wisconsin. It was the end of my third year in school. I was in pre-med then. My whole family was in medicine. And that's what I knew I wasn't going to do that, but I was still in science there. But it wasn't going well. I mean, I was doing okay there, but that's not what I loved to do, but I didn't know what it was.
Right.
It was May, and a bunch of us basically took some very pure LSD, and we were out in the country, and I woke up. Something happened there, and it wasn't until retrospect, after I had my implants removed in March of this year, where I started connecting a whole bunch of dots that I had never connected before to come to where we are now. Anyway, that was a wake-up call. And then in 1970, in September, I started an art school having no art training. And I still can't draw to this day. I'm just not a draftsman. But I had images in my head from having psychedelic trips, but what they really were shamanic experiences. It's just that the drug, or it was actually plant medicine, because that's where it all really came from. I went to those places. I mean, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that's what that was then. And I experienced a light, a gray light, and it came in a certain way. And from then on, all of my creations were going inside first and then creating it. And I didn't know until now what all those experiences were and what they're leading up to. And then I started doing transcendental meditation in 1971 because I knew that the drugs weren't, I needed to be able to tap into whatever I was tapping into, but without any kind of help like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what did it. And for 15 years, I didn't do anything else but focus on transcendental meditation, the TM City techniques. All my friends were started out, and a lot of them became TM teachers. I didn't, because that wasn't my focus. But I began to understand everything in terms of the science of creative intelligence, which is what we were doing was explained in terms of the science of creative intelligence, in terms of consciousness expressing. So that energy, that light, that aliveness that was put into all of my artwork, which I wasn't really seeing in a lot of other artwork when I was in school, I understood as creative intelligence. And we'll get to this later on in the interview, but what it really is organic light. And we'll talk about how human beings in our genome, the only difference between us and animals, because the animals have this also and the plants,
sure,
the only difference is that we can consciously create, and we do it through this organic light, which some of you might understand as source code, and some of you might understand as the sound light current. Yeah.
Do you feel complete?
No.
You're so funny.
With respect to that, because I was just feeling the energetic of it, and I know the people out there, you know, we're sending out codes as we're talking.
Absolutely.
Things are being activated for people to understand this and connect with it. We're going to have to talk a little bit about the Sophia myth when we get to that.
Well, let's dive into that. You know, I think the, just to make it really clear, when Jeffrey contacted me previously, he had this amazing, I'm going to call it brainchild. He had this idea, and he has worked very diligently to create 49 pieces of artwork and photographs to contribute to this. And we're going to talk a little bit in a few minutes as to how does that apply to you and how does that impact you. But he's got such a unique tool here that I really feel very strongly that I wanted to share with the world, to the point where we decided to do an interview today. But before we dive into that, let's talk a little bit about Jeffrey. You are clearly a wizard. There's no question about that. I mean, I saw that. I was just telling him a few minutes ago that every time I connect with him, I go right into a magical ancient forest. The trees are massive. He and I are kind of cruising by. We have this mutual respect for each other. We do a lot of cool alchemy kind of work. And here we are again today in 2016. You remember anything about us? Do you get anything on that?
Heart connection, sister.
Yeah.
That's right now, that's all I can specifically say, because I get images. Like when you talk, I can see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's how I see. And, you know, we talk about lineages, and this is an interesting thing to bring up. But you say that you're in the lineage of Merlin, or however you say that. And what I'd like to put out there is, yes, that may be true, but the converse may also be true. Merlin may be in your lineage. Mm. Because these things that we're connecting with, we've done over and over again, at least in the last 8,000 years. But we were also in Atlantis, which was before that, and Lemuria, which was before that, and possibly, there's probably been 10 iterations of this human genome over time since the Earth was created, which was probably about 4 billion years ago. And I choose to know which one we came in on, but I think we were there in the, whatever, the Hyperborea.
Yeah, Hyperborea.
And whatever, I think, anyway, whatever was going on with Tolkien, whatever he was tapping into there, I definitely feel that that was going on here. I know Adam Apollo mentioned that it was going on in Sirius, because that's where the elves were, but I think that particular thing, to me, was actually going on here, and he tapped into that, and I think we were there. I mean, Gandalf the White, it's got nothing on me. I mean, I am him. I really relate to all of that energetically.
Yes.
And right now, well, so here we're bringing it forward, and what we're always bringing forward is our connection to Sophia. And we'll have to get in a little bit into what that is, but John Lash is the one recently I've seen, listen to his video presentation on the Sophia myth, which is important because we're going to talk about archons a little bit, and he's the one who brought that forward in 2006, or brought that into the general understanding, because it was in the Nag Hammadi library, the Gnostic texts.
Correct.
And that's where this the Sophia myth is talked about, and it was lost into the later Abrahamic in Christian and Islamic books. They left it out on purpose, and so we'll talk a little bit about that. However, online, when you go to the process that we're doing here to look at it on Galactic Connection, there'll be a link in there to listen to that video, because I can't do justice to it. I'm just going to touch upon it a little bit just so we can talk about what we're doing.
Sure.
And then everybody else can go and listen to that video from John Lash. So I guess we might as well jump into that. Was that where I was going with this?
Yeah, because I think what really needs to be clarified for the audience is, what was your main thrust in creating this whole technique and bringing it forth to the Guardians in particular? I know you wrote into me about the Guardians in particular, but what was your main push? What was your main desire of what you want to accomplish?
We're going through a time now, and a lot of you out there, because of how you're going to get drawn to see this video, because of where it's going to be posted, this will probably be the first time you've heard of it. The rest of you know what's going on. And in this September, this all has to do with ascension or whatever that is, and descension, which is probably what we're really doing.
Exactly.
And you can talk about all of that if you get a chance. You know, have to get me to shut up. And so in 1984, I had a rebirthing, and that was another trigger. And that set me off on another, I made a set of 7 tapestries. I left the job I was at and made this set of 7 tapestries, which I thought was going to be 11, because I thought it was related to the Kabbalah Tree of Life, but it really wasn't. And I didn't even understand that until just a few weeks ago. But I made these tapestries, and people would stand in front of them. Remember, this is back in 1984, 85 to 87. People would stand in front of them, and they'd go into what we call then healing crisis. Mm-hmm. And I began to remember how to energetically assist them to go through that. And so I also took Reiki back then when it was just coming out in 1984, 85. It was just becoming available. And I took the first and second Reiki to assist me with whatever that healing energy was. And these tapestries, they basically ended. I finished the last one of the seven in February of 87. And these people came around. Earth Mission extraterrestrials. And they came to town and long story short, they activated me relative to sound. They did some things with sound. It activated me. And I started using sound in doing healing work sessions.
Now, Jeffrey, answer me this. How long did it take you to make each one of these tapestries?
1 to 6 months.
Wow. And you made seven of them.
And part of that was them coming through. So the first three came through fast, but it took, you know, a month or two for me to get them because I spun some of the material. I dyed all of it myself. And then I wove it. And the weaving was what took, you know, the most time.
So were you in kind of an altered state when you were doing it?
Yes and no. I mean, in creating the picture or the cartoon, I worked from a full-size cartoon that was basically outline drawings.
Okay.
But I also, the way I worked was I developed a technology a number of years before that for my perceptions are always multidimensional. So I come from the inside, see what it is that I'm going to do. I see it all in light. They actually were like, they were like shamanic visions and like other visionary artists, especially ones who work from when they've been on a plant trip or a psychedelic trip and come back and put those images on, they paint them or something like that. Usually there's recognizable images on there. Mine were mostly geometric because I'm just not that good a drawer, although if I had to get an image, a physical image on there, I could do it. But it was multidimensional. And I figured out a way with weaving technology. There's a way with weaving where you can weave two layers at one time. You know, it's a basic double layer weaving that people who weave know how to do that. What I saw was I could like weave two weavings. And then I could switch and bring the bottom weaving to the top and the top weaving to the bottom just by how I was weaving it. So that would like be making these stripes if I did it with every five shots of the yarn going across and switched fields, you'd get these, you know, inch long bars built up of different images. Well, by the time you got it down to switching every thread, I'd do one thread of one thread of the other. Like building up a picture on a television screen, pretty soon both, if you do that and you switch every thread, you're going to have everything on top blended together.
Wow.
And then I also, in traditional tapestry, you beat the weft fibers down so you can't see the warp fibers. But I didn't do that. And I sectionally dyed the warp fibers so there were clouds of light that I could put in there. So I had like four different dimensional areas I could work with. And then also, I didn't see yarn as texture and so much as how it reflected light.
Wow.
What I was weaving was light. And I knew that then. And I knew that it was important that I actually did this in this case. I could feel as I wove the energetic, and I, that wasn't constantly every second when I was weaving. It's just if I was weaving and stopped, I noticed there is an energetic, and this is how in this third dimension the energetic gets put into this work of art, and it's why work of art can work. So These are abstract works, and the father of abstract art is Vasily Kandinsky, And he wrote a book about it called Concerning the Spiritual and Art, and in Painting in Particular, I think it was called. And he was, this is what he was talking about, but he just used other words. Hi, Noah. Noah's my son, and this is something he relates to. he's one of my sons.
That is just fascinating, because it really, it takes you back to the days of old when things that we created, things that came from our heart creatively, really merged and meshed with the, like what you're saying, that sound light stream, versus how so many things that are being created today are so much out of the mind and digital, and you know, it's a completely different thing. So just your weaving is healing and affecting anybody who walks by it.
Exactly. And actually, when I was making this set, what I thought was happening was I was making something that would travel around the world, and people would walk through, and they'd be enlightened.
They'd go into a trance, right?
Well, I was making them, and what I realized later on, I eventually had to stop making these, and I thought it was because, you know, there were more, but I just wasn't going to be able to do it. And I realized that people could come and see that and walk through it and, yes, be changed, but not recognize it.
Absolutely.
Or it would be something that would happen later on.
Fascinating. So where did the seven tapestries take you next? You know, because you obviously have a lot of thought and guidance and inspiration from that experience. So
that stopped. In 87, the weaving stopped. I financially, et cetera, couldn't keep it going. I was finished with my second marriage after that. And my kids are from my first marriage. Now I'm on my third marriage, and 25 years. Our 25th wedding anniversary is coming up on September 26th, which
nice.
Talk about, because that's when this third wave of ascension wave is coming in, and it's also a timeline compression wave.
Yes, it is.
It's also what we're going to do here is help people to get aligned with that.
Yes.
So what happened was after that time, these ET extraterrestrial Earth mission people came around, and that was an activation for me. And I started, the group that I was hanging with in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a metaphysical group, and it was, you know, those people around Milwaukee, a lot of us started doing drumming and things with Indians. And I did a bunch of sweat lodges and went out in 88 to South Dakota and did, you know, it was in a Yuwipi ceremony and somewhat of a vision quest kind of a thing. And I came back and I had to get a job. So I had this job for 6 months. It was in an advertising company. And I lost that because it's not something I could do. I'm not a salesperson. I can, you know, I can get people excited about things and things like that, but I'm a real introvert, complete introvert, but I'm not shy. You know, that's the difference. Introverts aren't necessarily shy, and I'm not. But I'm very introverted, and I'm just not, you know, you can't get out there and be a salesperson.
So I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, I didn't see that because I was thinking about that. Anyway, it was at the end of 88 in December, and that's when I got my pink slip in the middle of December. So I was like, oh, you know, Christmas is coming up, which I don't celebrate, not because I come from a Jewish background, but because I don't like all of that. Anyway, I don't think we have to get into that, or we might, I don't know. So anyway, the lady that I was living with, which I was with her for about 3 years at that time. And she had a friend of hers that came over that she was doing something with, this lady, and I can't even remember this lady's name anymore. And this lady, she did a healing thing with me. I did a healing thing with her, and she did a healing thing with me, and my eyes were closed, and she said something about seeing some golden light like honey. And when I saw that, it became a wand. And around this time, in 87 and 88 and 89, I started getting involved with crystals because I found that there was something that I could do, especially with Atlantean healing crystals, the ones that are like a finger come to a point, mm-hmm. that I could activate them in a certain way. I'd hold them and energetically this thing would happen. What I know now is it was that sound light current that was coming into the crystal. And that is how we create. I didn't understand that until now of what I was doing then. But I started to, you know, I saw these wands and I saw these geometrics associated with it. And I started making these wands, these tools, and then started doing workshops related to them, where people could experience them. And I was also doing, we had experienced a lot of shamanic journeying that we were doing using a drum, not psychedelics to get into it. Michael Harner started doing that right around that time. And it was after that kind of thing. And I found I had a facility for doing this drumming and having these tones just come out. And for 5 years, I did workshops where I would basically, oh, you're feeling this now. I can see it. I used the sound and I used sage because that's how I touched in with the earth energy. And I balanced and aligned people's energy field right then, and I used the tools to help do that. And then I taught people how to start relating to these tools energetically.
Right on.
And this went on for 5 years until the end of 1993.
And this is a big piece of what you're doing now, and that's why I wanted people to understand this has been kind of like an ongoing journey to come up with this final product.
Yeah, so there's the weavings, then there's this energetic thing. And I was looking for some things. We're going to talk about the Flower of Life in a minute, so I was looking for my old Flower of Life images, and I went into my folder, and there was this flyer in there. And, you know, it said Masters on Earth Mission. And I said, well, whose stuff is that? Increasing vibrational frequencies and maintaining balance during earth changes. And I kept on reading this because I thought, well, you know, did I go to that thing? It is appropriate to only attend this event only if you are choosing to raise your vibrations to the highest frequencies of light and love. You are committed to fulfilling your earth mission. You are attending for the sake of following your own spirit or higher self and not someone else's. And then it says, light and sound, balancing of chakras and aura, establishing telepathic link with the ascended masters and other beings of light in the higher dimensions. And this started sounding familiar. I said, what was that? And then I read this next thing and realized that was me, and this is my flyer from back in 1993. So get this. Actively experiencing the energy conducting tools. That's how I realized this was mine. These tools are sacred geometry transducers of the universal language of liquid light and sound. They have been created by Solan, that was a stage name I was using then, Master El Moria, and the nature intelligences to assist the children of light in focusing higher dimensional light frequencies to be applied to earth transmutation. So, and it went on. But for whatever reason, I forgot about all that. And, you know, I didn't even recognize it. And yet, this is what I'm doing now, but I'm taking it to another level. Now, there's something else in between. At the end of 1993, I've left a lot out. I mean, I've had contact with a lot of people, Michael Legion.
That's okay. As long as people get the process that it took for you to get where you are with this whole thing.
So then the next thing is at the end of 93, my wife and I and a bunch of other people, along with these people, Athena and Avalon, who were around then, went to a trip to Peru, end of 93. And I also had seen my old girlfriend had given us a bootleg set of Drumbo Melchizedek's Flower of Life workshop set. A lot of you know what that is. And we had watched that right before we went to, I mean, it was like, you know, a week of videos. And it was about activating your macabre field, etc. And we had watched that right before we went to Peru. And I knew that I was done doing these tools. And one of the reasons was something in there about technology. And that I knew that it was time for me to stop with technology, even though tools are cool if you know what you're doing with them. And but it was time for me to stop that and start something new, and I didn't know what that was. And I told my wife, well, I need to stop and find something else to do. And we went to Peru, and we did this thing. We went to a place called Marcahuasi, which is sort of near Lima, but we also that has these stones that are, you know, they look like people. Anyway, we went there. We went to the lines of Nazca in an airplane. We went over that, and we went to Cuzco. Mm. And from Cuzco, you go, and that's where right above Cuzco is, I can't remember the name of that particular set of where these giant stones are, but we saw a condor there, etc., or it was brought. But we also went to, we eventually got to Machu Picchu, but in between we went to these other sites. And one of the sites that we went to was Ollantaytambo. And that was a special place for me. And there's a path, curving path, that gets up to the monolithic stones up there. And so we were on our way walking up there, and they had these niches in the rock. Wow. And we were with I choose to remember his name now. I think it was maybe Jorge Gonzalez or Jorge Hernandez or something, who is a very well-known guide for these esoteric kind of trips into that area and Lake Titicaca. And he's been on the History Channel, Aliens, and those kind of places. Anyway, this was back in at the end of 93. So we were walking up this path, and it was only, about this wide, maybe a half a yard wide. And there was this niche, and I just stuck my head in one of those niches and started making these tones. And that went on for about 5 minutes. And I stopped, and I stepped back, and Avalon grabbed me, because I would have stepped off of the path. So he saved my life. And I looked up at our guide, and he looked at me, and he said, "I don't know what you just did, but that was the most," and I choose to remember what his words were, but it was like something that he hadn't experienced before, and he knew that it had gone down to the heart of this site, but also other places on the planet. So anyway,
your toning was a key. It was a key that opened up something. Yeah.
Well, as we understand it now, this is the sound and light current. And it's also organic light. And it's enlivening more and more what I came here to do and what we came here to do, which is what we've done. We did it, we probably starting out with the Gnostics in Iran, the Magians. That was basically a secret society, and what we were doing was teaching about and showing, it was like a mystery school, how to get back or stay in touch with Sophia, with Gaia Sophia. So we better tell a story about what that is.
Yeah, and this is why I feel this is so important, because right now, because the timeline is being sped up, because a lot of other timelines have been shut down,
yeah,
I know that to be true, definitely, just in my own involvement, and because of the fact that we are really being called as the enlightened group, it's up to us how this plays out, how we smoothly ride not only this acceleration period, but also the radical changes that are going to keep coming at us like every time we turn around. So I felt very, very compelled to come up with a solution, as did Jeffrey. And I'm honored that I was able to work together with him on this project. I think it's really, really exciting. So talk to them a little bit about Sophia, and why are we where we are with Sophia right now, do you think?
Okay. So I'm going to start with, and you can go to John Lash's video to get the whole picture of this, but what's been left out of all of our quote-unquote religious books is the Sophia mythos. And he says mythos instead of myth, because it's something you actually live, and it's best to hear it as an oral tradition so you can hear the sound, and that's why it's important for you to hear this video that he has. And so basically, to make a long story short, in our galaxy, there is a place in the center, some people call it the Great Central Sun, but the Greek word for it is pleroma, and it's a place of light, and there are these beings there called aeons, A-E-O-N, and they do experiments, and they create, and they do it out of ecstasy, and they basically created the human genome, which is a lot more than DNA, Sophia was one of the beings that worked on this particular experiment. The other one is Thelete. He's more of a male energy, although these beings are not like humans at all anthropomorphically. They created the Anthropos, which is us, but they're like light filaments, almost serpentine, is how it's described. And they created this experiment, this Anthropos, and this human genome, and what they normally would do was the light would come from source originator, a singularity of organic light, which would, the way I understand it, activate this genome, which they would send through these like tubules of light into the galactic arms, which were set up to take this experiment to its end. And those aeons didn't leave there, or normally didn't. And Sophia got really into what was going on, so into it that she followed the light and the Anthropos into these galactic arms, and she hit the galactic arm, and the Earth wasn't created yet. And when she did, these ripples went out, and these beings called Archons were created from that. And the Archons were, they did not have this organic light. They were just made out of material. I think John Lash at some point said that they were silicon and mercury, not silicon and oxygen, silicon and mercury. And
makes sense.
Yeah. And Sophia gave them a certain amount of intelligence, but not something that they could create with. So all they could do is imitate creation, but and she then got involved with the materials there on how planets are created. And again, you'll have to listen to John talk about that. But she got wrapped up in the creation of the planet, and this doesn't happen. This is an anomaly. And planets all have a soul, just like we have a soul in our body, a spirit in our body, whatever you want to call it, planets do. And this planet does also, and back in 72, somebody started calling it Gaia, and there's a whole thing about that, except this is different because not only is it a normal soul that's in this planet, it's also the aeon, Sophia, that's in this planet. So this was a whole different thing going on. And at some point, our human genome started developing, and the anthropos, the human being, started developing. And this was 4 billion years ago or something. Time's a little funny, I mean, because it's all happening now anyway. But anyway, that'd be 4 billion years ago. Anyway, there's been 10 different iterations of human beings over the past, I don't know how many centuries. And we're the 10th, but we're becoming the 11th. And what's happened with the Archons is that they were given all the other planets in this solar system to work with. And they were not able to come here on this planet because, physically anyway, because they couldn't exist here because they're silicon mercury and our whole system is carbon and oxygen and silicon oxygen. You know, there are silicon oxygen life forms, or at least there were at one time. Anyway.
Yeah, it was originally silicon, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, long story short, getting to this deal with the Archons and what they did was they were jealous of the Anthropos, us. And us back then, or you know, whatever that was, because we could and can create through this light, through this organic light, we can create, and they can't, and they were jealous, and there was one of those Archon that sort of took over for all the others, and he saw the creation. His name is Jehovah, and he saw the creation and said, "That's mine. I did it." And then, but he couldn't take part in it here on Earth, or he wasn't supposed to anyway. And so, long story short, what he found was he couldn't physically interact with us. But he could mentally interact with us, especially if we invited it in. And there may have been a reason way back when to start doing that. But I think that's where implants came from.
Well, and also think about silicon mercury. If you go into alchemy, mercury right. is totally of the mind. So that's how they were able to insert themselves.
Yeah. And so they can, in the mind, because they can mimic creation, basically they created the matrix. Now, what I don't know is we're here 4 billion years later, and basically technology is from these Archons. Now, what I don't know is, over this 4 billion years, did those Archons make spaceships and then go out to our universe and, you know, get involved with all of the other extraterrestrials out there who are in ships, etc., or not? You know, that's I don't know.
I personally don't know why we're getting feedback.
Because we're saying something important.
Feedback. I definitely feel that they have invaded the entire universe of this universe.
Yeah. So, I came back from in 94, we came back in January from Peru and said, okay, I'm going to become a Flower of Life workshop facilitator. And I did. Yeah. And that's what I did for the next 3 years. And
that was with Melchizedek.
That was below Melchizedek. Yeah. So it was his workshop, but I was a facilitator of it. And this is the flower. I'm saying this as I have a theory related to the archons and some of the other things related to the flower of life. This is the flower of life, and you've seen this all over the place, particularly this part here, which is the seed of life. A lot of people use that image. And we also found out in this flower of life, this is the organic structure of the universe. You know, all the geometry comes in there, and it's how spirit moves to create the universe in an organic fashion. And it's actually spheres. And when spirit moved, there were two spheres, this one and then this one was the first day of creation, and it made the vesica Pisces, which is all of light right there. And then it went on to the other days of creation to make this whole pattern that just keeps going out and out and out. And this is the fractal organic universe. Well, then there was this guy, according to Drumbelow. I don't know what the angels are, and I don't know what archangels are. At least I don't think I do, and now I'll find out because I'm saying that. Because that's how it works for me. And also, Lucifer. I don't know what Lucifer is or was. However, there's a guy named Lucifer who said, okay, there's another way to do creation. This is the Luciferian flower of life. And you can see it has two centers. So that's duality.
Yes.
This is the matrix. This is my idea about what the matrix is. And it's also where technology exists. Because in the regular flower of life, we can create anything, and we can anyway. We can create anything with our thoughts, with this organic light. We can create anything, literally. We just have forgotten. And part of the reason I think we've forgotten is we agreed to be in this experiment with Lucifer, which is it's a hologram of the flower of life. It's not organic.
I want to add something to that.
Yeah.
Now, that particular Luciferian flower of life, not only is it showing duality, but the thought behind it, the creation behind it, was one of, I personally feel, this is my opinion, it was one of almost resentment, spite, and I'm going to show you to divinity itself. And so one of the things that we're contending with is that very core undercurrent in this reality.
Right. Exactly.
It's not coming from a seed of divine love.
Right. It's a matrix. But at the core of the matrix is still the flower of the original flower of life. So you know, we can work with the original flower of life, but still work within this matrix, like Neo learned how to do in the movie The Matrix, which was another awakening for me. But notice here, these two, if you look at this stereoscopically, crossing your eyes and look at it, like those stereoscopic art images that used to be around 20 years ago, if you do that, that becomes the regular flower of life. If you cross your eyes and look at it, those two become one. And you've got the regular flower of life. So somewhere in here, if this is the matrix and it's the and technology exists in the matrix, so everything that's, you know, this technology exists in this matrix, what's the possibility that we agreed to this experiment? The Archons went crazy, but somehow in all of this, what we're doing, and Drumbelow said this has been done 3 other times and it didn't work, and this is the 4th time, this matrix that we're in. So we're in it, we agreed to be in it, but now we're remembering what our agreements are, and we're on Earth, so we've got an agreement with Gaia, and now we're remembering what that is. And it might have to do with whatever all of, you know, whatever the Archons were and what they're becoming, because they're our cousins. You know, she created them too, not on purpose, but so they're still our cousins. So somehow, and I don't know what the solution is, but Sophia does. And we talk about New Earth. And what's important, at least for me, to recognize is, and John Lash talks about this in some of his things, that Gaia is now correcting this anomaly, this time, with this us becoming this 11th iteration of humanity. We're creating something different. We're changing. I'm not sure what that is. Maybe into crystal again. We'll see. What I do know is this. All of us, particularly everyone here who's listening to this video, you are here. There's a reason that you got to listen to this. And one of the things that's important to just allow yourself to experience is there's a reason you came here, and it has to do with Earth, with Sophia, with the spirit, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't have some kind of agreement with her. So we are going into a new Earth, and we talk about, okay, let's visualize what we are choosing to have with the be the new Earth. And that's all well and good, but let's remember, this is really Gaia doing this. Gaia, Sophia, is the Earth. That's the consciousness there. So to me, it's important to, because we have an agreement to co-create in some way whatever else we're doing, whatever this new thing is. And we can't even know what that is because it's still being dreamed. This is all a dream. That's how we make things. We dream them up. But we're doing this co-creatively with Sophia.
Yeah. And there are stipulations that are not being allowed to be done again.
Say that again, because that was important.
There are stipulations that have been decided upon that are not being allowed again.
Could you just go into that just a little bit more?
There are decrees and decisions that have been made so that we don't go through this looping again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the timelines are crushing down. We're going into Gaia's dream, whether you think you choose to or not, you're going to do it. And so Alexandra and I have a process here, and she has a lot of other processes that are to assist you to do that with as much grace as possible. And you don't have to do what we're saying. Just hearing what we're saying to you now is going to put you on a new path for you to find out how to do that for yourself. And we're offering a way to make it a little bit easier. But as these energies come in on the 26th, we have the energies of this new timeline coming in. It's going to affect everybody. And if you have stuff to go through in order to get your frequency to be able to go along with this new timeline, if it's, you have them to come up, they're going to come up. So you might as well jump on the wagon now and take care of whatever it is that's going to be coming up for you. And we've got things to help you with it.
And also what I'm feeling, and I've felt this for a long time, but it's going to be accentuated, is the majority of what we're cleaning up now is ancestral, it's lineage related, it's also past life related. It's things that if you chose to ignore that, or you did not have the awareness to address it, you're really now being slapped in the face to deal and heal. It's not even so much you have to analyze it and understand it and all that stuff. You just need to forgive yourself.
Yeah,
is ultimately what it gets down to. And a lot of self-forgiveness is needed right now. I keep hearing from a lot of my clients, Jeffrey, that there's an immense amount of sadness.
Yeah. It's
lots of sadness. I felt waves of it too. And the reason for that is, even as much as we are aware and enlightened of what's going on this planet, we're even seeing the depths of abominations that have been committed, not only to our fellow people, fellow beings, not only to our fellow animals, our fellow forests, you know, our insect kingdom. I mean, for God's sakes, I was in Virginia, and I was sitting in their backyard, and I remember when I was very young, I was 10, 11, 12, we used to have fireflies all the time. And I was sitting in the backyard, and I just had this, like, huge sadness come over me, because I was lucky to see two fireflies. And, you know, they were doing their best to do their thing and light up. And I thought, wow. And I went into the whole chemtrail thing and how much that's destroyed so much of the insect kingdom. And, you know, even when you drive during the summer, I'm sure a lot of you have noticed, you don't even have any dead bugs on your windshield.
Yeah.
They're nowhere to be found anymore. I mean, but the reason I'm bringing that up is, we really need to understand that very deep, deep, deep sadness and sorrow is really, it's an amalgamation of an oversoul deep pain. And it is up to us to release this. And some of us are going to do that work unconsciously or subconsciously. Some of us aren't even going to know about it. So it's up to those of us that have the awareness to really do some of this, because it doesn't have to be painful. We just have to have the forgiveness of ourselves and the release.
Yeah. And when we release it for ourselves, we literally, whatever created that is being released for all of our lineage.
Exactly. And it's really important to do this work now.
Yeah, and our lineage, whether it was blood or soul family, it's all focused on us now. And we may be, like you and I and whoever is in our immediate soul family and the guardians, we have certain things to release, and we're finding out about them.
Yes.
And just doing it, just being willing, you know, to go through with it. And if you got to process it through. But know that when you do that, you're doing it for your whole lineage. My dad was a doctor. He passed like 40 years ago. And he was a doctor, and he was in the Army and during the World War II. And he came back, and my mom said he was a changed person, and he never talked about the war. And he was sort of like one of those irascible kind of doctors. We found out later, from somebody, one of my sons did some research, and there was somebody who posted something online that was a story that they had written, and my dad was in the story, and it was about, you know, something that they were, you know, in a battlefield near Italy, and what my dad was going through in that.
Wow.
It was horrible.
Wow.
So we realized from that he had PTSD. We just didn't call it that then.
Right.
And although he, you know, it didn't manifest too physically instead of violence, although he, you know, he yelled a lot and stuff like that. That transferred in whatever way that it did genetically. So, you know, although I don't have PTSD now and never, you know, experienced anything like that, he did. So energetically, I'm carrying that. Well, not anymore because I've purged it, so to speak.
Well, you carry that stuff in your DNA. Like, I do a lot of work with DNA.
Yeah.
And, you know, it shows up. If you, you could, I'll just give you an example. If you had a father who was into pornography and you never touched the stuff, it's still going to show up in your DNA because you're carrying the imprint and you're carrying the genetic code of your parents. But I feel that, you know, most healers, we already know that we need to be doing, you know, cleansing and purifying constantly, especially right now, because, you know, basically this matrix is just vomiting all of the miscreations. I mean, really, it's all coming to the surface right now as we speak. But I think what we really are being called to do is to cleanse what the lineage has been responsible for or involved in regarding either deliberately desecrating the planet we live on or deliberately ignoring it and choosing not to take action or do anything to try to love and, as you say, commune with our planet. So I really want to get into that because that's such a key point, Jeffrey, about talk a little bit about what we talked about before about communing with the planet.
Okay. So just to go into this real quickly, a number of us, have come back here each time, and some of that is in history, the Arthur and the Round Table, the Templars, before that, whatever Jesus came to do, and before that, Abraham. Now, the Archons, this is one of the things where they came in. We've got these implants where they can get into our mind. Some of us don't anymore because Alexandra and Galactic Connection have a process to get rid of those implants. And that's important to do. I didn't think that it was, but at one point this year, I said, okay, I'm choosing to make a connection with Alexandra, and I'll just get my implants taken out so I can make the connection with Alexandra, thinking that I didn't have implants, because back when I was doing healing work, implants were those artifacts that I could see. I used to call them kitchen utensils, but knives and forks and what do you call it that women have so that they can't have sex?
IUD?
No. This is back in medieval.
Oh, time. Like the chastity.
Chastity belts. Yeah.
Okay.
That kind of thing, and taking them off. But this isn't the implants that she's talking about, and she can talk about more about that when the time comes up. But these are energetic implants, and it's how the Archons are able to get through and have an effect on everyone. And get you to do what you aren't really choosing to do. Anyway, so something started out with Abraham, where supposedly Melchizedek came to him and made a deal with him, but it really was not the real Melchizedek. It was a holographic Melchizedek that was really an archon, and basically said, okay, you're going to be the chosen people, and this whole Abrahamic thing of a redeemer, a messiah, a savior was put into effect, and it became worse with Jesus, because whatever Jesus came here to do, which was to show you organic light and show you that you are organic light and you create from that. It's not something for you to worship, and he wasn't somebody for you to worship.
Exactly.
He came here, like a lot of us come here he may have been more realized in what all that was, the Christos, who, by the way, is another aeon who has an influence here, and you can hear John Lash talk about that too. This whole thing got turned around because if you think you need a redeemer or have a redeemer or a savior, so that you have that in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and each time it got worse as far as giving your energy and humanity away to this thing outside of you. Yes. When you're the one who can create. There isn't anything. So if you worship anything, wherever your attention goes, your energy flows. So the more that you worship something, the more you're giving away your creative energy. So even when you pray to a God or Jesus or Muhammad or something, and you think that your prayers are being answered, what's happening is you're a creative being. You're answering them yourself just because you have such an emotional focus on having something happen. It happens. It's not because there's another being that's doing it for you. You're doing it. You have from Source Creator, whatever you think that is. And I don't like to use the term God because nobody knows what that is anymore. Straight from Source Originator Creator, you have the creative light, the sound current with which you create with your imagination. What is imagination? What is intuition? Imagine. Imagine in. That's manifestation.
Yes.
Intuition. Yes, it's knowing, but it's also intuition. Intuition. That's your manifestation. So, what the point of this is yes, there are beings that we work with, but we co-create with them. We don't worship them. So, getting in touch with Sophia, who is the spirit of this planet, just like you have your own spirit in your body in this particular lifetime, is creating the new earth. And we have some agreement, and you can find out by communing with Sophia what that agreement is for you to do.
Yeah.
To assist this whole process.
Yes.
And what Alexander and I have here in Galactic Connection is a process for you to get involved with, if you choose to assist you in all of that. So I'll talk about
it now. So let's dive into that. Yeah. So because we have maybe about a half hour left. So we've kind of given everybody your background. We've given them your journey as to how you actually came to find this, and we've given them your perspective of what you see is going on with Sophia, Gaia, Mother Earth. So now what we're being faced with is this accelerated timeline, okay? And also the fact that, and I just love the way you say that, is really, truly unifying our ability to wake up from this archontic nightmare. Okay.
Yes.
And literally dive into our new home, our new heaven on earth. That's really where we all ultimately want to go. It's where we want to be. It's what we want to have and do and see. So what can we do to assist everyone in doing that? So this is where Jeffrey kind of started this with me. And what I want to do is, he calls it an organic light realignment process. And it's using a lot of his background and geniusness, I should say, of his artistic capabilities to be able to take a look at you through this organic sound light stream and through the use of toning. So the first thing I want you to do, by the way, is can you just do some toning with me so they can experience that part of you?
Yes. Okay. So what I'll do is, if this is okay with you, and people can tap into it if they choose to. And if you're driving in a car, don't do this right now because we're going into an altered state, and replay it and do it at home. So this is all about intention. So when my intention for this is going to be that the sound light current will assist to clear and cleanse Alexandra's energetic field, but also for her and for any of you out there who are choosing to tap into this, to take you to your next step of awakening.
Perfect.
Okay. And I'm going to use a little sage.
Okay.
And you can tap into the energy of this. Usually we do this because you're right here. You can tap into the energetic of this just because you choose to, because you intend to. This assists for physical clearing and cleansing, but it also, it's from the earth. So this is part of what I like to do. This little sage going here. And I'll do mute real quick about the tones. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Chamam ta jin ta ma jin zona katama jin jim yao gam ran chata. Dikti jo min yom na ta ta ching yin jom na mam ran chari se. Oram na ke joma chin jong gama. Prazo pritam juge shanama dujim joja dane yama weyo zimyon. This was cleansing of the field. Now I'm going to continue here and bring in the sound current that assists everybody for their next step of awakening.
Perfect.
Yes, tamao maje shitamama mamron jin shintam dakati chi chi yamamantonam tiniga janta inkantamahoran chi shashamaram barabachanite tamaba purin chidamanutiam nahotaman jinja shamanite shashamion samama mamionama borenje hetelinionam reche chom nyo namanjong memriche chamamore chita toma brejinja namam rechisha namam rinjingomare chire namanamayong anatanche heya tamaro chire namam yam namam ganjanchia prima mama nando jinchi mama pam kranchencha te yo na ni tu
Nice.
Yeah, we could go on, but let's not.
Yeah, because I'm like in an altered state right now myself.
Yeah, and that's why, yeah.
I felt that. I felt that was beautiful. Thank you.
And
so I wanted people to see this is part of what he'll be doing with you. It's just awesome. It's very refreshing and cleansing, and he's going to be tapping into a lot of different aspects of you. So now after you do that, tell him the next step of your process. Okay.
So actually, before I start everything, what I very specifically do is to have you connect with your higher self. And even if you don't know how to do that, just have the intention that you're doing that. And however you do it, you give the instruction to your higher self that you and your higher self will only accept energies to affect you that is appropriate for you in this moment. That way, you protect yourself, but it's also empowering for you. It doesn't have anything to do with me. And so it's also a way for you to know that I'm not hypnotizing you or something like that, for you to do that. Because that's what happened before in the past with, you know, some people in the mystery schools decided, okay, I'm going to use this for social engineering, and basically started telling you what to think. And that's how we get the Gnostic Illuminati, long story short. Anyway, this is about personal responsibility, okay? So,
yes.
Once that's done, then I have you and I connect heart to heart. And I also connect with the heart of Sophia, and then connect with the heart of the sun, because that's what's working here. Sophia and the sun have something that they're doing relative to what they're dreaming. And it hasn't been dreamed yet, although because of what time is, it has. But this is something new. And so when we choose to know, to create new earth or heaven on earth, we really only know what we don't want it to be. We know somewhat of what we are choosing to have it be, but because our memories aren't there consciously, it's a challenge to know specifically what we want or choosing to create new.
Yeah,
because it's something that's going to come up in concert with Gaia as we go along, and as these new light codes are coming in on September 26th, which, by the way, is an important time for me, because it's my September 26th is both my 25th wedding anniversary and it's also my 68th birthday. So I'm not sure what all that means. I got married on my birthday, and dolphins were involved, and that's a whole other story. So anyway,
you got a lot of stories.
Yeah. Back to what we're doing here. So what I do.
Can I show them like one of the pieces of artwork that you pulled from to create mine?
Let me explain how that all works.
Okay.
And then we'll show it. Okay.
Okay. Just remember, we're running out of time.
Yeah, okay, so I'll go quick. Okay, so what I do then is something similar to what I just did with the sounds, but what the focus is to realign your whole energetic structure. So what we're talking about is your DNA, your all your energy bodies, whatever you can experience them as, your chakras, and do this for all of your lifetimes, to come in and realign with these frequencies from Sophia. Because that's one thing that I have, I am assuming through Sophia, is this light sound current. And my intention is to be able to have you get energetically realigned to Sophia's dream. And that's what those sounds do. And now what else happens is there are audible sounds that happen, but there's also inaudible sounds that I can't make that are happening on a lot of different levels. That's the sound light current. There's also images, archetypes. And they're related to my artwork, those seven tapestries and combinations of those seven tapestries that come in.
Right.
And that was, yeah, go back a little bit. Yeah. So that was the artwork that I used that was the basis for Alexandra's portrait. That isn't your portrait. No, that's the artwork.
Yeah.
Okay. No. So let me explain what that artwork is all about. Do you have the picture of the original artwork that went into it? So in that case, it would be the picture of Kali.
This one?
No. That's that. No, that wasn't for this. Do you have the picture of Kali there?
I don't. I have the heart.
Yeah, that. Okay. That was one of the original artworks that I worked with her. Now, let me explain what that's all about. So, You can put that down now.
Good.
um, My son, Noah, my middle son, has developed a technology along with his partner who did most of the computer work, Carl Steveter, process. And you can find it at Picazo, P-I-K-A-Z-O, app.com. And what this is a way for anybody to create art. And what it is a program that has, Carl mostly and Noah too, they designed this software to use AI neural process, or a process that imitates neural processing, to take, let's say, a photograph, and then take a style of painting, let's say a picture of the Mona Lisa, and to paint that photograph in the style of the Mona Lisa. And I was let go of a job that I had with Mastery Systems, where I ran their office, in the end of March, and I knew it was coming at the starting of March, and it was in the middle of February when I committed to do my
implant
removal process. Mm-hmm. And I did the implant removal process and then found out that I was losing my job in a month. Anyway, long story short, in April, some other things went on with me and that process and Alexandra, but I was talking to my son, Noah, and I was talking about, well, you know, what am I going to do now? And I thought about, you know, something I could do online. And he said, hey, why don't you, you could do a reading of somebody with runes or with tarot cards or something. Take a picture of that. Take a picture of them after the reading, and then do their portrait with it through Picazo. And I said, yeah, that's an interesting idea, but I don't do readings. I don't do runes and tarot. And all of a sudden, I saw the whole thing, because I remembered what I did 20 years ago with the sound current.
So out of the 49 pieces of artwork that you used.
Well, I've got those seven main artworks.
Okay.
And then I use the Picazo app to take each of those artworks and style it with each of the other ones. So that gave me 42 new artworks plus the seven. So I've got a portfolio of 49 energetics.
So how did you determine my two? So my two are this one, right?
Yes.
And that one's called what?
It has to do with the heart. Let's just call it.
Okay.
Heart.
And then you got this one.
That was, I combined that heart one with another one, which was basically the Akali energetic.
Okay. And then what he did was he combined them. People can see it.
Combined the combined tapestry, which is the picture that she showed up before, along with, after I did her session with her, I took a screenshot, because that captured her energetic, captured the whole energetic along with what happened with the organic light. And it, I used her portrait or her picture and combined it with the Picazo image of that she held up before. And what came out was this. And what this does is it has the energetic of that archetypal artwork along with her energetic. And here's what you can do with all of this.
Yeah, so tell him that. And okay. Just so everybody knows, so he combined the heart with the Kali, and you basically confirmed for me that I was here. One of my major missions is to destroy evil through the heart.
Yeah. So basically,
well, that was interesting.
I just knew that because I've got these seven tapestries and their archetypes, and each one relates to one of the seven chakras. And that's only on the grossest level. And so when I do this process for you, I will mention that. I will show you the pictures that were used, or the artworks that were used in your artwork, and I'll let you know which chakra was the foundation focus of the energy for you, and what was also an influencing energetic. But that was how I get to know which of these archetypes, these 49 archetypes, I'm going to use to make your portrait. And how I do that is I look at your portrait. After I do this process with you, we do it on Skype. We get off of Skype, and then I look at your, I put up all the 49 thumbnails of these images. And then I look at your photograph that I have, because I took a screenshot of you. And I can see the energetic around you, and I'll start seeing the basis of an image in your field from that photograph. Then I go to those 49, and I find out which one is closest to that. And then I open it up and make sure that, yes, that's the energetic. So then I go to my Picasso app, and I take the photograph, and I take the photograph of the archetype tapestry or image, and we Picasso it, or the AI Picasso's it, and we get your portrait. Now, something I want to add in here, because people might hear the term AI and get all scared. This is what's important to know, and this is what might this whole thing here might have been about, and technology, was when a human being that has organic light and creates with organic light creates something relative to technology and AI, it's organically created. So it's not going to be something that can be used for this transhumanist kind of thing where AI takes over. Now, that's different than what the archons have created in terms of AI, because there's no humanity in that, and there's no organic light. And one of the, hopefully, things that you can do after one of these sessions, and maybe even if you don't have a session but have heard what we're saying here, is to be able to identify what's organic light. What is it? And what is it within you, etc. So here's what I have you do. When we're done and when I've got these pictures for you, I will send you your portrait, and I will send you a triptych, which is three images that show the main image that I used to make your portrait, and it shows the two artworks that were used to make that image, if it was two. If I use one of the seven major ones, then you'll just see that one rather than two. What I have you do is, before you look at the portrait, I'm going to have you put your triptych on the screen, and I'm going to have you look at those artworks. And here's what I'm going to ask you to see is, do you notice movement there? And on the site where we have our widget for this process, you're going to see that image of the weaving that Alexandra held up. So the one of the heart weaving. Yeah, or you can hold it up now. No, not that one. The red thing with the hold it up. Yeah. Okay. So what you can notice in these images is movement. That's the first thing you're going to notice, is something is moving there. And if you tap into the subtlety of that energy, you might know something that's emotionally affecting you, possibly emotionally compelling for some reason.
It's amazing.
And then you might notice a the magical quality that it has. But as you look at it this way, you look at that artwork, you'll also notice that what you're noticing, I can call, is there's an aliveness mm-hmm. in these works.
Yes.
And you may or may not have experienced that in other artwork, but that aliveness is the effect and is organic light. That is the living organic light and sound current. And different people are going to experience it different ways, but the more you experience, the more you're going to get in tune with it. So once you practice this with those images, then you go and open up your portrait. And here's the thing about that portrait is you start seeing all of those things in the portrait. You start with movement. You're seeing what's moving around in there without identifying with you know, that's an image of you, oh my God, because, you know, what are the aesthetics of this? And forget about all of that and look into the movement. Maybe even look into the depth that you can go into every little spot there. And notice the aliveness of that whole experience. If you have to get away from your own image in there, turn the thing upside down so that you don't see your image, but see it as an abstract work of art, a mystical experience. And tap into that aliveness. Then notice your image in there. And be tapping into the energetics related to the aliveness and your own perception of your image in there, and start experiencing that and ask yourself, how come I can experience this life, this aliveness? And the reason is because that's what you are. It's your own reflection. And the more that you work with this and tap into the energy that's underlying everything in that image, and also realize that when you go out into nature, it's the same thing that you're experiencing there. When you experience that subtleness in the nature, it may even get to the point where you experience the essence of that light, which is, it may appear as just a bluish or an opalescent field, because that's what the experience is. Now, a lot of people are experience things visually and internally. That's clairvoyance. But there are seven different ways or more that you can experience that. Some people are kinesthetic. So all of these energies, they feel kinesthetically in the body rather than seeing them as an image. Mm. And some people will hear it. Some people will do all of that. So however you experience things, allow yourself to just go into that the way that you experience it, the way you experience life. And then from day to day, you can use that to make your connection with that organic light. And it's probably something that in that way you haven't really done before. So, and maybe you have. And it's another way to get in touch with it. Like, I'm looking at that picture behind you, and I can see that light in it.
That one?
Yeah. Because it's underneath it. I look at the aliveness, and I can see it under there. So why this is also important is because this is also a way to get in touch with Sophia.
Yes.
Another way is to do that meditation where you connect with your heart. I learned that one from Drumbolo. I was at the same thing that Adam Apollo was, where Drumbolo taught how to do that, the earth sky meditation and going into the sacred place of the heart in 2002 here in Asheville. I didn't know him then. Oh, I don't know him now, but we'll connect. Anyway.
Jeffrey, can I jump in there with the meditation part?
Yes.
Okay, so what I've done to add on to this, since the most awesome experience from this is when you go into meditation and you lock into the artwork that he ultimately provides you, is I had an amazing experience basically receiving, as he would say, light codes for an essence that will enhance this process and meditation and experience. And I'm going to hold it up, and I want Jeffrey to describe what he feels. This is the first time today. I held it up just before we did the interview.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got to stop that. What happens was when I tap into energy, it comes out as the language. So I've got, let's see if I can do that without the language, although maybe I'll do that too, because you know, people will pick it up. But as soon as she picks it up, I feel it in my heart right away. And then I feel a tingling in my body and my ears. And if I close my eyes and see the energetic of it, there's so much light in this formula. There's so much essence in the formula. And it goes through all of creation, because we do. When we create anything, we're connected with Source, and it goes through all of creation. This is what this is doing. And this is how I experience essences. Boy, I can really feel it in my ears this time too. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to, in an alchemical sense, to assist you with whatever areas you require to be physically revibrated with a physical essence, which also has the energetic components to it. Okay, and so in sound code, this is what it sounds like. Hold it up. Keep holding it. Okay, I just want to... Okay. Zamatom zistamamam pranchitam. Zamajonjim yinchanantan zinjum zim yum yum yin jan sam na theatre. Maokachan chimian tomam richishita. Nitam no kanji cha. That's the foundation of it. We could go.
I felt that through my whole body. Wow. Well, I also wanted to let everybody know these are some of the core things that came through me. And obviously one of the main things is helping us anchor ourselves in the new Gaia Sophia timeline. So that was the whole intention behind this, but it is assisting us in releasing the deep soul pain on a galactic level even. Okay, it's not just planetary. There's a lot of pain beyond this planet from this experience. It's helping us learn the lessons that we have experienced from other past lives. Okay? It's helping us to be in the here and now. It's helping us to increase our intuitive radar. It's helping us to release fear. It's almost like a frozen fear, like when you drive up and you see a deer. And it's like frozen in the headlights. There's this whole blanket of that around the planet. It's helping us to release and dissipate that. It's helping us to release shame. It's like a huge issue. And very importantly, helping us to feel that we're at home in our physical body and that we're receiving nourishment from the planet now.
Yes.
Okay, that we're actually understanding that our emotional well-being is only going to fully be complete and authentic when we commune with Sophia Gaia. That's another undertone of it. The uninvolvement that we've all experienced as healers and spiritual metaphysicists, etc., where we've become very uninvolved, we've extracted ourselves from the matrix. This is to try to give us some impetus and fire to come back into that fold where we see the new involvement that with communing with Gaia and Sophia. And also, this is really interesting, this came through, not having the knee-jerk reaction to automatically reacting negatively to our past.
Yeah.
This is a really big deal. That came through, I'm getting really big goosebumps. It came through loud and clear that we are to try to look at what we're leaving behind with not only grace and ease, but appreciation and understanding what we've learned. We've grown from that. We've matured. We've become so wise from all the experiences that we've experienced, even though at the time we perceive them to be very brutal and disheartening and difficult. And also, this is assisting us in becoming more certain about our own sense of truth, our own sense of feelings, and opening our heart to really living one-on-one. It's really a marital, almost, agreement with Gaia Sophia. So that's what came through with the essence.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's exciting.
So I don't know if you guys are as excited as Jeffrey and I are, but we really feel like this was divinely guided. And I thank Jeffrey for really sticking it out with me, because I think it's an important process. It's going to be one of the additional processes that we feel is necessary, because as you go through this and you experience it, I believe you'll really notice the differences in the way you're even seeing reality, or seeing yourself and the way you fit with this planet. So,
yeah, and in association with that, we're asking everybody to get their implants taken out first. And those of you that have already done that, you can jump right in. The rest of you, just please do that, because it's not that this won't work if you don't have your implants taken out. It's that you won't be able to perceive the level of what's going on unless you do get them taken out. And they're going to interfere with that whole experience. So if you click on the button to have this done, we're not going to go and look and see if, you know, look in the records and see if you've had your implants taken out. I'll ask you, because I'll be contacting you to set up the time for this. But it's for your benefit to have that done first. And if you're limited in funds and you have to choose what to do, get those implants taken out, because that's the most important thing. Because you handle that, and you might be able to just use the information from this interview along with everything else that we've got on the blog on how to do things, and you know, help yourself. And otherwise, jump in and do the whole session, and you know, which includes the essence. And if you've got plenty of dough, hit that donate button and help us do this thing.
Yeah, that too. And also, you know, when you get your implants removed, as I've said many, many times, this is so far beyond just removing implants. Yeah. Okay. This goes way back and way out there on galactic universal councils that I'm involved in, that Jerry's involved in, where we are really truly working on many, many other layers and levels to assist you in truly redeeming your own sovereign rights. And believe me, folks, it is a convoluted world out there. And we do need assistance with this kind of stuff. It was created so that we would have to have the assistance, and the fact that we're veiled, okay? So it's not such a bad thing that we have people assist us in certain areas where they have an expertise and we don't. The other thing I want to say is, when you do have your implants out, it's very, very normal for people to have a positive effect on their finances, okay? And a positive effect on where they have much more clarity where they're going. And the biggie is, when you figure out where you're going, you will notice that your alliance is going to become much stronger with Gaia Sophia. So yes, that goes back to this. But again, so what you're going to get is, you're going to get your own, of course, this is mine, so it's not going to be yours, but you're going to get your own really cool synopsis / artwork, and you're going to get a 1 ounce essence. This is a very large bottle, but you're going to get a 1 ounce essence, and we are calling it Aligning with Our New Home. Okay, yeah. That's what came through, our aligning with our new home, Sophia. And we're doing this for $144. It's a screaming deal, because you're getting a true artist here who's working on your entire energetic grid, just the same as what I do with my essences, where I'm really tapping in to what ratio do you need, okay? So we don't just like cookie cutter slap the bottles out and throw them in the mail, by the way. We actually tap into each and every one of you when you place an order. I did want to say one other thing. We are hiring someone for our shipping, okay? It's been a notoriously slow process here at Galactic Connection. As you know, we're always looking for angel investors and people that can assist us where we are so we can grow and expand. And if you feel so compelled to do that, please let me know. But in the meantime, we are bringing on a shipper that should really lighten the load and speed up our shipping process. So I just want to let everybody know that. So
when you do sign up for this, Alexandra will work on getting you the essence, but we can do the portrait and the realignment in the meanwhile. You can get that done and be working with that till you get your essence. So because of the nature of this, I can only do two of these a day, so I'll probably have three times in the day, but for a while anyway, I'll be available to do this on the weekends too. So you know, that'll get all worked out. When you push the button, you'll get instructions on how to do the rest of it, which we have to yet work out.
Yeah, I know. This has been like a work in progress, that's for sure.
You'll get contacted for sure.
Yeah, so please feel free to drop Jeffrey an email at shamanicwizard@gmail.com. That's shamanic, shamanic, wizard, wizard, @gmail.com. He can answer any questions that you have regarding the artwork. His process is very integrated. It's very fully involved, and there is only one Jeffrey to do this. I love it. I love the creativity in it, and I love the amazing energies that come off of his work. They are incredible. So that to itself is going to be a journey. And you mix that with the essence, oh my God. So I'm excited. Anyway, so thank you, Jeffrey.
You're welcome.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm excited. Can't wait to hear some feedback from all of you. And as always, from my heart to yours, I send you great love and great admiration and honor for what you're doing to assist us in getting where we need to go. I thank all of my audience. I cannot ask for a better group of people and all the understanding and compassion that you have sending this way. We do appreciate it. So have a wonderful rest of the week, and we will talk to you later. Thanks, Jeffrey. Take care.